540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The father of the 14-year-old accused of killing two students and two teachers at a school in Georgia has been arrested. Chris Hosey is with the State Bureau of Investigations.
These charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
The teenager scheduled to make his first court appearance today. A judge set to decide today if former President Donald Trump will be sentenced this month in his hush money case. CBS's Graham Cates.
Trump's lawyers argued that a later date would give them time to appeal if the judge rejects an effort to set aside Trump's verdict.
Mr. Trump may be in court today to appeal the $5 million verdict in the E. Jean Carroll case. It'll be another triple-digit temperature day on the West Coast. This man in L.A. is bracing.
Yeah, this summer's definitely been hot. Yeah. It seems like it doesn't end.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden came to the Badger State Thursday. He touted his Investment in America plan, which includes laws like the American Rescue Plan Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. His main focus was billions of dollars going to clean energy projects, many of them in the Midwest. Dairyland Power Co-op will get more than $500 million for new clean energy installations. And there's a new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin. Native American tribal leaders are behind what they call the Wisconsin Wellness Initiative. But Wisconsin has yet to join neighboring states where medical and recreational marijuana can be used. This really happens in a cycle, and it feels like it happens constantly. There's discussion, discussion dies, and then discussion begins again. A bill in the state assembly to create state-run medical marijuana dispensaries died last session in the state Senate. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Head coach Matt LaFleur is excited to get started.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a three-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the third week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny, back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc's Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not a bad way to start a Friday morning temperature-wise. We're looking at mid to upper 60s all across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome to it. It is a fabulous Friday, and I am the fabulous Farm Babe. For the next hour or so, we're going to have all kinds of great conversations about what's happening in Wisconsin agriculture, the food you look for at your local farmers markets, and the stories behind it. In fact, today we're going to focus in on our lunch ladies, all those school lunch ladies that are trying to make sure they're taking care of your kids when it comes to great nutrition, and a lot of them are really emphasizing buying local. We've got a story on that on the way. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. Tickled to have you along with us. Like I said, you might need to grab a jacket or a sweatshirt if you are just trying to acclimate towards more fall-like temperatures, but they're only around for the weekend. Today, sunshine on the way. Maybe a little bit of a rain possibility this morning, but it's slim. Daytime highs today expected to touch out in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, more of the same. Sunshine, probably temperatures in the upper 60s. Sunday, we warm up to the mid-70s under sunny skies. Now, next week, you might wish you had these temperatures because we're going to be back into the mid and upper 80s for most of next week. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has weather details on the way. So I'm going to get us started on a Friday morning sharing some of our stories from our recent Alaska farm tour. Now, if you haven't seen our pictures yet, pop on over to Midwest Farm Report or Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. Tried to share as many as I could when I could find internet access in the beautiful state of Alaska. There's a lot of agriculture in Alaska. It doesn't look like what we've got in Wisconsin, but that's why we travel. We start our story this morning near Delta Junction, Alaska, where a father-son team are trying to help Alaska deal with the issue of food security. Bryce Wrigley and his son Milo are operating Alaska Flour Mill. They've got 1,700 acres of small grains they're producing, along with cover crops, and they've turned it into their family business. They're putting together different prepackaged mix that will give you barley cereal, barley cookies, barley brownies, all kinds of different options when it comes to those tasty treats. But Bryce Wrigley tells me it all started with the goal of food security for the state of Alaska.
Yeah, our focus is entirely on food security now. Whatever we put in through the mill and sell, whether that's retail or commercial, or in the bakery, which we started last year, all of it is really to increase our food security in Alaska.
That's something that people take for granted. Just give a little bit of a sense on how dependent Alaska as a whole is on others.
So some of the studies have shown that about 95% of everything we eat is imported. So that's a lot. Obviously, we won't get to the point where we're raising bananas and oranges and stuff like that here. But our goal or our hope is that we can create a balanced diet. Be part of a balanced diet that would sustain life here in the event of an emergency. A lot of people talk about food security. What they don't realize is the value of food security of an area during an emergency,
right,
on just the stability of the social structure.
Right.
When people are hungry, that's when you see crime and murders and things like that, trying to get what they don't have. But if there's an emergency going on and people have food to eat and something to feed their family, then they're less likely to go out and attack their neighbor or steal food or something like that. So there's a hidden value to having a local food security, right, that most people don't really think about.
Yeah. Now, you've tried to share that message or encourage others to think that way in the Delta Junction area. How's that going?
I think that there's a big understanding for that here. And it's growing in Alaska, too. We've worked on this for, I was Farm Bureau president back in 2000. Oh, man, what was it, 2006 or something like that, five or six? And we started talking about food security, food independence for a long time. And that message is actually getting through to the legislature, getting through to the governor's office. And it's just that, you know, government takes a lot longer to do anything than the private sector does. Mm-hmm. And you have to still have somebody that is willing to focus on that. Yeah. And that's something that we're willing to do.
Well, and we've said it's not just about this one product, but there's a dairy down the road that follows some of your inspiration. There's a beef producer down the road. There's a couple other segments that are trying to step in.
Yeah, for our little town, our little community here, if you look at the plate, for me, now it's a plate. It used to be the food pyramid. You know, there was meats, and there was vegetables and dairy, fruits, and there was grains, and there was dairy. And we got three of the four right here. You know, the only thing we're missing really is commercial vegetable or fruit production.
Let's come back to Alaska Flour now. Since I last saw you and Milo, you've expanded yet again. Help people understand the dynamics of what you're trying to do within Alaska Flour to not only sustain the land, but sustain the family business.
Yeah, so we switched to no-till in 2010, and then we started using cover crops. And I really love what I see happening in the soil. It's just remarkable. And it's, I mentioned before that it's probably the best management decision I've ever made. But with respect to the flour mill and the bakery, we started the flour mill to improve food security, and we're moving things along that way. And then COVID happened, and there was a big spike in awareness of where is our food going to come from? Things just they dried up just like toilet paper did, you know. And then right after COVID, people wouldn't come back to work. And we were talking to some of the customers down in Anchorage about using our products in their restaurants and food service. And they said, we can't get anybody to come back to work. So we asked them if they would be interested in pre-made frozen products. And they said they would be. And I actually did a little research, found out at that time about 40% of products that are used in restaurants are pre-made frozen. Mm. So pretty significant section. Yeah. It's just none of that was happening in Alaska. And so we started the bakery. We decided to do it in February. And by March or by May, we had to send our first samples out because the tourist season started. Oh. So it was huckledy-buck there for a little while. I mean, the ground is still frozen, and we're digging a septic system. We're remodeling, and we took our test kitchen, made a bakery, took the office, made part of the bakery, moved Milo into the warehouse, built the warehouse. So there was a lot of changes in a hurry in 3 months. But it's turned out really well. We have two shifts of three bakers each now running 4 days a week. And just keeping up with that stuff. And we always are looking for new products, you know, and those products reflect what we see as opportunities and needs in the community.
Well, and I love how Milo kind of explained some of the best, most successful products for Alaska Flour were, by golly, almost mistakes.
They were just unexpected. I kind of like, I remember hearing about somebody who was trying to make rubber tires and or something anyway, and it was just an accident, and that's kind of what happened to us, with the cereal and the couscous. We didn't even know what couscous was until all of a sudden this restaurant guy says, "Man, that looks like couscous. Okay, good enough for us." And then we found out later that's really what it was.
So when I come back and see you again in about another 3-4 years, I know how your mind works, Bryce, and I think you've got the same spark in Milo. What are you guys already thinking about?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to keep up with Milo now. I told him, Milo, we're not doing a restaurant, okay? So just draw the line here somewhere. But, no, I'm sure that we'll be expanded into some new products and focusing on things. Right now we're sampling pizza. So we're looking at making pre-made, what they call them, par-baked pizza. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of dialing that in. So this group of tour people today, guests, will be sampling the pizza, giving us some feedback on that. And I think we're pretty close, but it's always nice to get some more information for you to launch. But we've got the boxes. All this stuff is set to go. It's just we're waiting for one piece of equipment, that should be here next week.
Always thinking about the next step. That's Bryce Wrigley along with his son Milo, owners and operators of the Alaska Flower Company outside of Delta Junction. Using their 1,700 acres of high-quality barley production, they package up and distribute now through even baked goods, all in an effort to try to help Alaska move toward food security. Now, remember, here in Wisconsin, we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 64,000 active farms. In Alaska, just a little over 1,100. So they've got a long ways to go. You can find out more about the Alaska Flower Company and tap into their products if you'd like. Simple. Jump on their website, alaskaflowercompany.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There you go.
Click it or take it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Shaw, WAUK.
That's 877-301-3276. We'll be talking weather with Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, in just a little bit. Last week, the big Farm Progress Show was going on down in Iowa, and one of the conversations that caught my attention, health care. Now, it's not something we've talked a lot about in Wisconsin agriculture, but as commodity prices get tighter and tighter, more and more farm families are going to have to take a look at the expense of health care, try to figure out how to pay that bill. So last week, Landis and Conduit launched a new health care program powered by Momentum Ag, and it's designed to try to meet needs of farmers and the businesses and keep supporting farm communities. Matt Karstens is the CEO of Landis, and he said they're trying to address areas that they believe have failed in the past.
So we started this journey 2 years ago, and this is a tough one. I mean, many others have tried it and not been successful, but we've got the right partner with Momentum Ag. We've had two or three others. We got quite a ways down the road and found reasons that we just didn't think it would go the distance. We feel really good about Momentum. For one, the cost, our farmers and their employees and even in rural communities will expand it down the road, be able to save over 10 to 15%. The coverage is nationwide, including Mayo, which a lot of people worry about. You know, will they be able to get coverage up at Mayo clinics? So that's a yes.
Again, that's Matt Carstens. He's the CEO of a company called Landis, looking at healthcare options for farm families all across the United States. One element he says he's really excited about is something called Tie to Care Kit, which would really help folks at home.
So this company sends out a little care package that allows a device to sync with your phone. When you call up the virtual healthcare provider that they provide, it's instantaneous appointment and zero copay. That machine lets the doctor look ears, nose, throat, looks at skin, temperature, lungs, all the things that a doctor would need to do right in the comfort of your home or from the comfort of your tractor, either auto-steered or parked, but able to get that appointment, see what's going on, getting necessary prescriptions called in, and keep doing what we do, because we know that's what rural lives by.
Kind of interesting, huh? Well, keep an eye on it. Again, Landis with this new healthcare possibility for farmers all across the United States. All right, he was a farmer in a former life. He still plugs around at it now. Stumach Ag Meteorologist with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. And this Friday morning, a little cooler out there this morning. It looks like everybody on the rainfall report pattern is saying we stayed pretty dry. A little light drizzle from Scott by West Dallas, but otherwise not too much to worry about. I got that big Packer watch party going on tonight, Stu. Sounds like we better maybe get out some jackets or blankets, huh?
Yeah, it's going to get a little cool there, Pam. I've got a couple of rainfall reports for you. La Crosse at 24 hundredths of an inch.
Okay.
Boston at 21 hundredths of an inch. And I see Wausau had 17 hundredths.
Okay, so everybody in the same general arena, though, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah, wasn't anything heavy. Those were just more than, you know, a hundredth of an inch or two like most of us had. And, yes, it does get cool. In fact, tonight, when you head north of Wausau, head up toward Tomahawk, Rhinelander, and over to Park Falls, there's a frost advisory. It goes in effect early morning hours until about 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and those temps will be dropping into the mid-30s. There may be a low 30 way in the north, and not going to be a real big stretch of the imagination, I don't expect. Boston, you know, as we run down that low center of the state, could find themselves into the upper 30s yet late tonight. Otherwise, high pressures nearby. We talked about it. A very slight possibility of some rain midday or afternoon almost anywhere in the state. That should be about the extent. The far east may linger with that chance into the evening, but it's not going to amount to much, not even like we saw yesterday. Maybe some sprinkles, but that pulls away, and we expect that sunshine returns for the weekend right into next week, and those temperatures begin to moderate too. In fact, we make our way into the upper 70s, mid and upper 70s Sunday, and more likely begin to talk about 80s around the state Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Summertime weather right around the corner. I'll have the forecast details right after this.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Kenosha and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast, not just for today. Like you said, a cooler weekend, but boy, we jump back on the thermometer bandwagon next week.
Oh, we sure do, Pam. And, of course, our Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast is calling for a good deal of sun today. Call it partly sunny. Some areas may be mostly cloudy for a time, with that slight chance of a scattered shower. For a lot of us, not until midday or just into the afternoon. Temps today pushing in the low to mid-60s, and the north winds about 5 to 10. That lingering shower chance east and south this evening clearing out, and we fall toward the lower 40s and in the 30s. Further north, the north winds 5 to 10. Sunny Saturday, low 60s, really about the best we can do. The north winds at 5 to 10, and by Sunday, back to sunshine, heading up into the 70s, even mid-70s in the west with a west breeze, and then about 80 or better on Monday, Pam, and a little above that with sun right through the mid part of next week.
Beautiful. I'll take it. I'm not bad with these temps, and even that surprise frost up north, not a surprise, really, if you've been around for a while.
Yeah, not at this time of the year. And hopefully it's nothing more than just a little tinge on the edge, but we'll have to watch it.
Yeah, I guess. All right, buddy, have a good weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, bringing you all the weather details you need on a Friday morning, brought to you courtesy of our friends of Compeer Financial. Of course, Compeer Financial, your financial partner. Whether you're in agriculture or rural America, they're there to help you. That's Compeer.com. More on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Hey, everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win Contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a Bit Outside.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. The father of the 14-year-old accused of killing two students and two teachers at a school in Georgia has been arrested. Chris Hosey is with the State Bureau of Investigations.
These charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
The teenager scheduled to make his first court appearance today. A judge set to decide today if former President Donald Trump will be sentenced this month in his hush money case. CBS's Graham Cates.
Trump's lawyers argued that a later date would give them time to appeal if the judge rejects an effort to set aside Trump's verdict.
Mr. Trump may be in court today to appeal the $5 million verdict in the E. Jean Carroll case. It'll be another triple-digit temperature day on the West Coast. This man in L.A. is bracing.
Yeah, this summer's definitely been hot. Yeah. It seems like it doesn't end.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden came to the Badger State Thursday. He touted his Investment in America plan, which includes laws like the American Rescue Plan Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. His main focus was billions of dollars going to clean energy projects, many of them in the Midwest. Dairyland Power Co-op will get more than $500 million for new clean energy installations. And there's a new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin. Native American tribal leaders are behind what they call the Wisconsin Wellness Initiative. But Wisconsin has yet to join neighboring states where medical and recreational marijuana can be used. This really happens in a cycle, and it feels like it happens constantly. There's discussion, discussion dies, and then discussion begins again. A bill in the state assembly to create state-run medical marijuana dispensaries died last session in the state Senate. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Head coach Matt LaFleur is excited to get started.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a three-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the third week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny, back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matinair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Alba Show.
He's just the follower. Okay. You're the wolf. He's the sheep.
Yeah.
So you like taking a walk around Wisconsin's woods? Guess what? It could turn into cash for you. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will pay you for helping them collect red and white pine cones for their reforestation program. Yeah, they're paying $125 a bushel for red pine cones, $60 for the white pine cones. Now, keep in mind, there are specific guidelines you have to adhere to. But hey, if that's something you enjoy doing, there's another opportunity for you. Find all the details on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. Welcome back on a Friday morning. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. Stick around. We are going to share another one of our century sesquicentennial farm stories with you on a Friday, brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. We're still gathering those stories from all the families that are celebrating those anniversaries here in 2024. We've got another one with Charity Seebecker on the way. So today is the 6th day of September. What can I tell you? Well, this one is kind of near and dear to Wisconsin's heart. On this day in 1998, Tommy Bartlett died. Now, if that's a name that rings a bell with you, you're likely remembering his presence in Wisconsin Dells. He actually started his show business career when he was 13 years old at radio station WISN in Milwaukee. And by the time he was 17, he was hosting his own show in Chicago. He was active during the war and then ultimately started to put together his Tommy Bartlett water ski and jumping boat thrill show and brought it to Wisconsin Dells. They asked him to basically locate there and make it permanent. Now, a lot of those elements are still there, despite the fact that a big chunk of it was damaged during the big flood of 2008 up in Wisconsin Dells Lake Delton. But Tommy Bartlett's fame lives on. He passed away on this day back in 1998. On this day in 1870, a woman cast her vote in the United States for the very first time. Where was it? Wyoming. Yeah, women were not allowed to vote in the United States as a whole until 1920. But back in 1870, the governor in Wyoming decided that he was going to give women the right to vote, and one did on this day back in 1870. Happy birthday this morning to Saturday Night Live alum Jane Curtin. She is 77 years young, and now you know. Now, normally I try to catch up with this guy face-to-face, but our schedules just didn't work. So, joining me on a Friday morning from Helena Agri in the West Bend area, my buddy Dino Ebert has been on the road trucking it all over the place. So, Dino, let's talk just a little bit about what's going on in your backyard. You guys, although the harvest, per se, may not necessarily hit it full swing, you guys are busy, busy, busy trying to get ahead of some of these things, huh?
Yeah, right now we're getting ready to pull silage samples and get guys prepped to get moistures correct for proper chopping. And we're lining up soil testing right now for fall. We're trying to sample any fields that are ready right now, old wheat ground, old hay fields, anything to get the jump on whatever the curveball will be for weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also selling weed seed, talking cover crop stuff, getting all that stuff in place. So, and starting to evaluate test plots and looking at seed varieties and what's new and coming and what the focus should be. So it's always something on the run.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you brought up, soil samples. That's not necessarily something that people put a high priority on. But early this year, you were big on making sure that you tried to get a grip, not just on the nutrients you put on this spring, but maybe the nutrients and where they moved around. You're still kind of carrying that torch this fall, aren't you?
Correct. Yep, I mean, we're evaluating how did our programs perform. I mean, if we're really, really lacking, do we lose all the nitrogen? We know we can keep the P and K in place, but we know there's loss of nitrogen and sulfur. So we're trying to look at soil types, look at base soil tests, look at what do we rely on for credits from manure or carryover from sod or soybean rotation, and just trying to learn and get better so that we're just in place to do a little better job for next year.
Yeah. Now, speaking of trying to get a little bit better, how are things looking as far as silage? I got a guy yesterday that told me he'd already gotten 100 acres of silage off. What have you been seeing so far, Dino, when you're bouncing around the country? How have people started opening up fields, and what are the early conversations you're having on that?
What we're seeing, just looking at ear development, most hybrids are showing a little smaller flex. Flex is determined when that plant is small, before V6, you know, in that 10, 12-inch range, girth of the cob is all in place. But All our wet, wonderful weather that we had really stressed our hybrids. So generally speaking, in ear development, it's roughly two rows less on flex. Not on every hybrid, but we're noticing it on some. Mm-hmm. As far as chopping, I've had a couple of guys open fields, you know, sometimes surprisingly low, in the 69 to 70 to 72% range. Huh. A guy that I talked to yesterday had said he had opened up for a cover crop meeting and it was at 75. So we're gonna start testing on Monday. It's usually a little wetter going through the chopper.
Yeah.
But we always recommend that guy start a little on the wet side, because too dry doesn't pack right, doesn't ferment right. We don't get the digestibility and the quality that we want if we're too dry. So we're trying to edge guys into the edge of starting at a bit on the wet side. So we'll see after we test Monday.
Yeah. Again, like we said, folks, this is Dean Ebert. He is in the West Bend area. He is just one of the Helena Agri folks that's trying to help you get through this season. And as you can tell, Dean is a team player when it comes to the clients he works with. And that also goes now into trying to figure out what we're going to do. Your area, like many areas in Wisconsin, ended up with some open fields. Now is the time where if we're going to try to think about getting something down, be it winter wheat or be it cover crops, you're there to kind of give them their best options. How are supplies and availability looking right now, Dean?
Supply and availability looks really good. We anticipate that wheat acres are going to be down a little bit. If you don't have a home for that straw acre,
yeah,
it's a tougher decision than just cash flow just on grain alone.
Yeah,
but wheat is a really good key part of our rotation. Water hemp does not like early competition from wheat. The same with rye, cover crop. Rye early shades that ground and prevents water hemp from starting. So we're trying to use all those tools to kind of combat that battle, because we're slowly losing that battle on the contact herbicide piece. Residual herbicides work really good this year for that, but rotation is a benefit in our area. I kind of empathize with the guys down south that don't do any wheat or covers at all and just doing corn bean rotation. That's got to be a tough game right now, but we're trying to use all the tools we have to mix that up and stay ahead of it.
Beautiful. Again, along with us this morning, Dean Ebert. He's in West Bend. He is all over the place, but he's in West Bend. That's where you'll find the office for the Helena Agri spot there. And remember, like he said, no matter what you're looking at, what questions you're trying to tackle, they are the team players that are there to help. Appreciate it, Dean. Next time we'll catch up face-to-face. Dean Ebert joining us on a Friday morning. Again, more available at HelenaAgri.com.
Keeping Wisconsin strong. Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong. Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
I imagine some of you are still going through a little anxiety putting the kids on the school bus, especially if it's your baby or your last one. Well, I'll tell you what. The Lunch Ladies are taking care of your babies, people like Jen Kapanis. She's the director of food services for the North Crawford School District. She said nutrition, obviously, is their number one goal, but they also try to use a lot of local products in their lunch lineup.
Well, we live in a area that's just surrounded by beautiful apple orchards. So we're getting a lot of apples, and we are incorporating that into a lot of scratch cooking, a breakfast at lunch, and then, of course, just having fresh apples all the time. We are sourcing potatoes and corn when we can. We get asparagus in season from a really great farm out of Waseca. And winter squash, that's a big one for us, green beans.
So there you go, some great Wisconsin produce that the kids in the North Crawford School District are enjoying, thanks to their director of food services, that's Jen Kapanis. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, pretty quiet. Barrel and block cheese were both unchanged yesterday. The butter did go up a penny and a half to 3.16 and a quarter. Now this morning, the October milk that goes into cheese down 4, 22.82 a hundredweight. December corn right now is unchanged at 4.11. November soybeans are down 2.5, currently at 10.21. And December wheat's down a penny right now at 5.73 a bushel. Coming up next, can you imagine farming during the Civil War? Yeah, you're a Wisconsin farmstead just trying to get started while the Civil War is ongoing. You don't even know the future of the ground that you're trying to farm. Well, next we are going to Iowa County to find out what it takes. One farm family celebrating ownership of their farmstead for 150 years. Charity Seebecker will share the story on a Friday.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Justice Department announced actions against a sophisticated Russian propaganda campaign designed to influence voting of specific demographic groups in the 2024 election and shape attitudes toward the war in Ukraine. September 4th, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland accused groups linked to the Russian government of paying U.S.-based conservative podcasters to push inflammatory and false news stories. According to a Department of Justice statement, three organizations under the direction of a first deputy chief of staff in Vladimir Putin's inner circle also created websites and social media sites intended to trick Americans into thinking they were reading legitimate news sources. The organizations created dozens of look-alike websites with Russian-produced propaganda, including The Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, and others. Other efforts used fake social media sites to target voters in swing states and conservative states, and specific demographic groups such as gamers, Hispanics, American Jews, and others. DOJ says 32 of those site domains were seized. 10 Russians, most of whom are connected to RT, a state-sponsored television network, have been sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department. DOJ cites an unidentified Tennessee-based company as being paid to produce videos used in the effort. We've linked the DOJ statement and documents outlining the Russian plans at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Hey everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win Contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a Bit Outside.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc's Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Directly with me and the team, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we're happy to welcome in team member Charity Seebecker this morning as we continue to salute farm families all across the state, marking a 100 or 150 year anniversary of having that farm in the same family. Today, it's a sesquicentennial celebration brought to you courtesy of Compure Financial.
With a legacy spanning over 150 years, Rick Zemlicka's family farm in Iowa County has evolved through generations of hard work and perseverance. Starting in 1874, the farm has become a symbol of lasting farming tradition, with a history full of both successes and challenges. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're bringing these family farm stories to you at MidwestFarmReport.com, courtesy of Compere Financial. Rick Zemlicka shares the story of his great-great-grandfather's journey and the impact of his family's dedication to the farm.
My great-great-grandfather, he bought the farm in 1874, and he got married that same year, and he bought the first 80 acres and then added to it through the years to total 320 acres. He had originally came from Bohemia with his parents in 1860 when he was 13 years old.
And take me through what that original farmstead was, what buildings are on it, how big it was. Kind of paint that picture for us of what that farmstead looked like.
Well, it's really hard to know that far back. We do have some family history that was written down, and they basically farmed with a few cows and pigs and chickens in a big garden.
And what stories have been passed down then from those first years on the farm? What were they like? Anything that really stands out to you from maybe going through the wars, Great Depression, or anything else that come with the trials of farming as we know?
Well, you know, my great-great-grandpa, his oldest son in 1895 was tragically killed in a runaway team of horses. So his second oldest son eventually bought the farm in 1911. And so that would be my great-grandfather. He built a new barn in 1920. And then a couple years later, he built a new house. And the barn and the house are still standing, and I live in the house, and I store round bales of hay in the barn. As far as milking cows through the years, my grandpa probably milked, you know, a few more cows than his dad did and so forth. So we did milk a few more cows through the years. I always had beef cattle and pigs, and so I milked cows until 2001, and then I just went with beef cattle. The hogs had already been long gone by then, and so it's beef cow calf operation with a little bit of cash grain sales.
And what are some of your favorite memories on the farm?
Well, I guess I have a memory of one spring day. My dad was out in the field plowing, and I was out there. It wasn't really too far from the house, so I don't know if I was his responsibility that day or if I wandered away from the house, but I had a little toy truck in there in the dirt, and I'd play in the dirt as Dad would make the rounds, and I would get up out of the way and watch him go by with the plow. And I kind of always think back to that, and how that seeing the dirt turn under that plow kind of probably made an impression on me to be a farmer. And we had cousins that would come out, and we would go down and play in the creeks and dam up the creek and see how far we could get the water to back up, and all those normal, you know, city cousins coming to the farm entertainments.
Is there interest in the next generation then taking on the farm?
Well, I do have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I think there's probably a pretty fair chance that it will be passed on to that generation.
And what does receiving this award mean to you?
Well, it's amazing, you know, to think about that for that long, to be a owner-operated family farm through all the difficulties that we all know farming can have. For me, you know, the farm, it's been my home for all of my life, so I haven't never lived away from the farm other than a little farm short course time after high school at the UW-Madison.
And is there any other stories or anything else you'd like to share about your time on the farm?
Well, thinking back and looking back, you know, through the trials of life on the farm and just life in general, you know, my great grandpa, you know, he built the house and the barn, and shortly after that he passed away from a heart condition, and so, you know, for his wife and my grandpa was the oldest, you know, to continue the farm through that time, you know, it shows determination, I guess. There was another time of difficulty for the family farm was in 1972 when my dad had just purchased the farm from Grandpa. Mom and Dad were expecting their sixth child. I'm number four. And so after our little sister was born, my mom passed away from a pulmonary emboli, and Dad pushed through, and the farm stayed in the family. And so those are, you know, instances of difficult times. And, you know, those, I've listened to some of these stories, and, you know, those difficult times happen quite often out there on the farms.
That's Rick Semlicka sharing the story of his family farm in Iowa County. Rick is just one of the many Century and Sesquicentennial farms that were recognized this year at the Wisconsin State Fair. You can listen to more of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
WAUK invites you to join us every Saturday from 8 a.m. till noon for the weekly Waukesha Farmers Market. As we head into the harvest season, their choices at the market change every week. From fresh fruit and vegetables to sweet treats, crafts, flowers, and food, there's something for everyone at the Waukesha Farmers Market. Stop by the 5:40 a.m. WAUK tent and spin our prize wheel for fun prizes and say hi to some of our local WAUK staff. See you this weekend at the Farmers Market with WAUK.
Looking back on the good old days of trying to cobble together a farm bill. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
After 30 years in Congress, part of that time chairing the House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson is now a consultant. He has some free advice for members of the House and Senate about getting a new farm bill passed.
It takes a lot of listening, a lot of cajoling, and it takes people that have credibility. And that, frankly, now is not as much abundance as it was back then. That's not just a criticism of the people that are there. That's the whole system right now.
Peterson says the tug of war between the nutrition title and the farm title portions of the bill has always been an issue, but it seems particularly polarizing this time around. Peterson says you have those who say the bill benefits large farmers disproportionately.
This idea that somehow or another, if you penalize larger operations, that's going to solve the problem of smaller operations. And that's just completely not true. You got people that are very good at manipulating the public about this, and it's gotten worse every time.
Peterson encourages farmers to make a point of meeting with members of Congress, especially on the campaign trail.
If you can engage them back in their district, you know, in their everyday life, I think it probably has more impact than anything you can do.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the